Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message. Today, we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 1. And if you have your Bibles, I hope you do. Turn there, and I'm going to set this up for you a little bit. Zechariah, he was a priest, and he was married to a woman named Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, if you don't know, was the cousin of Jesus's mother, Mary. Both Elizabeth and Zechariah were both righteous people, and they were honorable, and they obeyed God. But Elizabeth was not able to conceive. She couldn't have a baby. And both of them were very old in age. They were elderly. They were an elderly couple. So one day, an angel goes and visits Zechariah, and he is gripped with fear. And so we're brought to Luke 1:13, and it reads, and it should come up on the screens. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord, their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah the prophet to turn the hearts of people and parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angels, "Well, how can I be sure of this? I'm a very old man and my wife is well along in years." And the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until this happens because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." If you're taking notes today, and I hope you are, I've entitled this message, Miracle Mom. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this beautiful Mother's Day, Lord. I thank you for all that you have done to empower these women, Lord Jesus, to raise your God-fearing children. God, I pray that they are blessed, God. Continue to bless them in everything that they do, Lord. And Lord, right now, as this message go forth, I pray that it turns hearts and minds to you, Lord. May I lie down as you rise up today, Lord. While we are honoring moms, Lord, we always honor you, for you are worthy of all the highest honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you. So, miracle in Miramar. I don't know, many of you have heard this hashtag or this phrase that we've been using a lot here at Cool Church, Miracle in Miramar. And Miracle in Miramar was something that God showed my husband and I when we were developing the vision of and the mission of this church. See, ever since we launched this church, we've been praying for miracles that we can see. That is something that we've built this church on. And so I thought that it would be appropriate on this Mother's Day Sunday to talk about Elizabeth, the miracle mom. You see, Elizabeth, as I told you before, is the cousin of Mary, Jesus's mother. And she's also the mother of John the Baptist. She's affectionately known as the miracle mom because she got pregnant at a very old age. And, you know, people in those days,
They associated barrenness with sin. They thought that if a woman didn't have a child or she couldn't conceive, then she must have done something wrong that made God angry, and you know that made her, that took her from being in right standing with God. And so you can imagine that this must have been especially embarrassing for her, especially since she was the wife of a known priest. And so Zechariah and Elizabeth, for many, many years, I'm sure they prayed a lot. They prayed a lot for this, for a miracle in their life, for them to be able to have a child. And so when it didn't happen, pretty sure they gave up on that dream. They thought, well, they have gone far. They are outside of the age for them to experience the miracle, and the time had passed. And so all of a sudden, this happens. Elizabeth, an elderly woman, becomes pregnant. Wow. I can only imagine. Can you imagine what a sight that must have been? Could you imagine how they must have felt that after so many years of praying, maybe even decades of waiting, and it never happened, and all of a sudden, boom, it just happens. Wow, what a miracle. Since we're talking about miracles here, I wanted to clearly define a miracle. A miracle is an event that happens outside of the natural powers of man. So it can only be explained as a supernatural occurrence. It's when the impossible happens. I love it. Somebody once said that a coincidence is when God wants to remain anonymous, but a miracle is when God wants to reveal himself. See, miracles and moms go hand in hand. See, Elizabeth is a miracle mom, but I want to talk to you today about what makes her a miracle mom. And the first thing is that miracle moms have faith. If we go back to the passage in verse 18, it says, Zechariah asks the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." And the angel says to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent here to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until this day happens." For some of y'all, if you're taking notes, that's a place to underline, highlight, and just take note of that. "And you will be silent and not able to speak until this day happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." You see, Zechariah doubts the angel Gabriel's message because, I mean, he's old. I mean, they're both old. That's just what it is. And they were well far beyond their years to be able to conceive. And at that time, there hadn't been a recorded miracle in Israel for centuries. So then this angel appears to him and tells him this crazy news, and his response is doubt. I feel like, you know, at this point, though, his response is doubt, but then we see the passage tells us that literally the angel had to shut his mouth because he was talking himself out of this miracle. And if I'm honest, and if you're honest, I think that might be a word for some of y'all in here today. Some of you guys have been praying for so long for a miracle, but your doubt has talked you out. You're talking yourself out of that miracle with your doubt. I believe that this word is calling us to literally shut our mouths and allow God to be God, because God is always in the business of working miracles. He's always been in the miracle working business. And so if your response to a miracle isn't immediately pure faith, then you just need to get out of the way and shut your mouth to allow a miracle to happen. So either respond in faith or shut it up. But Elizabeth, that's not nice. I know we're in church. Sometimes you gotta get buck. Yeah, I gotta look at that little child and say, "Shut up." I feel like he did that at that moment. The angel was like, just shut up, Zechariah. But Elizabeth's response, if we look at the story, was very different, wasn't it? And her very name means promise. And she holds on to those promises of God. And so when news of this happens and when she becomes pregnant, her immediate response is faith. She says, "The Lord has done this for me." She knows and she recognizes that this miracle came from her Father God in heaven. Miracle moms have faith. You see, my mother has always been a mother of faith and a woman of faith. And when I was about 11 or 12 years old, I remember going to Haiti. We shout out to my Haitians out there. I love that. Haitians stay representing. So I'm in Haiti, and we were there for the summer, and so we're my cousins and my brother, my siblings were there, and we're playing on the balcony outside. And this was a really crazy time because this was a time where there was a lot of political unrest. Actually, I don't know when there isn't political unrest in Haiti, but this was like when it was really, really high, and there was a lot of violence and protesting that was going on in Haiti. And so we're playing outside on the balcony, and all of a sudden we see all of these people running to the gate, and they're like in Creole, "They're coming to shoot you. They're coming, the militants, they're coming." And so we're hearing this and they're telling us that and they're panicking. And so we're like, "Oh, okay." And we run and we go and tell our parents who are sitting down in the house. And so my dad is a very kind of like, you know, suave, like he talks like this, and everybody's like, "Oh, what is he saying?" He's like super smooth and super cool. This guy, and he's like always in a business suit. This guy like takes off his shirt. Like he literally rips off his shirt. He runs into the room and pops out with a gun, like straight up Rambo. I'm not lying. I promise you this is the truth. I wish my older brother was here to tell the truth. But seriously, he runs, he gets a gun, and then he's there shirtless, and he literally jumps out of the window. And we don't even know where he's at. And we're like, okay. My mother, on the other hand, being the woman of faith that she is, she goes into the room and literally I look and she's packing an overnight bag. She's over there like literally grabbing her underwear and her pajamas and quietly folding it. She's getting her toiletries, her toothbrush, her deodorant, her toothpaste. She's making a whole night. I think she even bathed. I think she had time to take a bath, and she's like all moisturizing and everything. And like literally when she finally is done, she grabs her bag and she grabs us, and she's casually just walking out the door and down the street to safety. And the rest of us, we're like, and she's just back there just chilling and just walking. And I'm looking back at her, and I just remember seeing, man, she just looks so unbothered by all of this. It's like she knew something. See, I believe either my mother was crazy or she has some crazy faith, and that she knew that her God was going to protect her and we were all going to be okay. Because the reality is that actually we found out that the militants did come to the house and they did shoot up the whole house and they did have the intent to kill us all. So that did happen. And so the faith, the amount of faith that it required for my mother just to be so calm in the faith of chaos had to be nothing but her faith. Amen? You see, I don't know about y'all, but how many of y'all in here have some faith-filled grandmothers and mothers and aunts and people that stand in proxy for the mothers that aren't here? I'm so thankful for those mothers, those women that are full of faith, the women that with faith, they can look at lack in the face and say, you know what? God is going to provide. With faith, they look at their children, the ones that are lost, and they know that God will bring them home. With faith, they could look at the things that are going on in their lives, and they know that God is always in control. They believe with faith that God can heal their brokenness. They believe that God can reconcile those relationships. Amen? They believe that they can be healed of cancer in the name of Jesus, and they can do the impossible. I have my mother-in-law who is sitting here, my mother-in-law who is sitting here 21 years cancer-free. Why? Because of her faith, because she knew who her father was in heaven, and she knows that he can do the impossible in her life. If you believe it, say amen. Let's give it up for all the moms and the mother figures that are filled with faith every day. Thank you for showing us what it looks like to be a person of faith. You see, miracle moms have faith, but miracle moms also know. They know things. Elizabeth just knew things. Like, while she was pregnant, the Bible says that her cousin gets a visitation as well, Mary, from the angel, and the angel lets her know that she is pregnant with the Messiah. And then after she gets this amazing news, Mary, she runs to go see her cousin Elizabeth, and it says that in verse 39, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to you, to me?" See, Elizabeth knows immediately that Mary is carrying the Messiah. She knows that she is in the presence of the one she calls Lord. She knew that she was standing before him. She knew things. She also knew, another example is when she also knew that she was to name her son John. You see, when she actually, this is Elizabeth. Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist. And at the time, the natural thing to do would be to name that child after his father. But she had heard from the Lord and she knew that the Lord wanted her to name that son John. And she wasn't going to let anybody tell her otherwise. So they're all like, "Oh, you got to name him after his father and all that." And she's like, "No, the Holy Spirit told me. And we are supposed, the angel Gabriel told me that I'm supposed to name him John." And she knew. She knew that she had to obey God's command because she knew that she was holding a baby of promise. She was holding a miracle baby. She was holding somebody that was going to, the one that was going to pave the way for the Messiah. Her child was no ordinary child, and she was not going to give him the ordinary name that people of those time would normally do, the name of their father. He was to be named John. And she knew that this was a miracle child. So, you know, growing up, I always wondered, you know, how is it that mom always knew everything? She always knew when I was doing something wrong. She knew. It's like mom always had eyes in the back of her head. I mean, I broke vases and all kinds of things. And she would see, I mean, I guess now I could see that. I tried to put it together. And, you know, the vase was all crooked and everything. You could see the glue. So she did know it was me. But needless to say, mom always knew things. She knew everything. And so, you know, now that I'm a mom, it's funny because with my baby girl, I find myself in the same position. He says that because he knows that, you know, Valencia, God bless her, she knows everything. We just got here. We're just living in her world. You know, she knows more than us. She's nine, y'all. She's nine. And she thinks she knows everything. So one day, I have my iPad, and I'm looking for my iPad, and I'm looking everywhere, can't find this iPad. And then so I say, okay, maybe I left it at work. I'm at home at the time, so I'll wait the next day, look for it at work. And of course, I go to the office. It's not at the office. So I'm like, okay, well, now I'm starting to get worried. Like, where is this iPad? And so I'm looking everywhere, and something hits me when I get home. Something just says, just ask Valencia where this iPad is. So I ask Valencia, I say, "Hey, you know where my iPad is?" "No, mommy, no, mommy." And then so I'm like, okay, don't think anything of it. And I'm looking around, looking everywhere. And then again, this prompting is like, go ask her again. So I go ask her again. She's like, "No, mommy, why would I have it?" So, you know, I'm like, okay. So I walk away, and then it's like something in me is like, no, just ask her again. So this time I say, all right, I'm going to go in stealth. You know how mamas do. Mamas start, you know, they have creative ways of trying to get their children to say and to tell the truth, right? So I was like, all right, baby girl, you know mommy wouldn't be mad at you if you used my iPad. It's okay. If you used it, it's fine. I'm not mad at you, but tell me, do you know where it is? Do you have it? No, mommy, no, no, mommy. Now I know something's up, and then I remember, find my iPhone, the app. For those of y'all that don't know what that is, that's an app that tells you where your devices are. It can literally tell you exactly where it is. So I turn it on and I look on the map and it says that it's in the house. So I'm like, okay, well, at least I know that it's not lost or stolen. So then I press the button because what it also does is that it rings so that you can find it, so that you can follow the sound and know where it is. So I press the button and I hear the faint ringing, you know, and so I quietly start walking towards it. I'm like, everybody be quiet. And I'm walking towards the sound and it's getting louder and louder. I'm getting to the hallway where our rooms are and I go towards my room. And as I go towards my room, the sound gets lower now because it was louder in the hallway. And so I go back into the hallway and it's getting louder and louder. And I head towards Valencia's room and this thing is getting really loud. So then I open the door and it's clear that this thing is in her room. So, of course, I walk towards it, and then the thing is, like, literally right in my face. I lift up the pillow, and there's the iPad! And, of course, Valencia is sitting here like, how'd that get there? And Terrence is on the side like, how did you know? You see, moms know things, don't they? They know what to say and what to do. They can tell when you lying. They just know things. I remember I would ask my mom, Mommy, how do you know things so much? And she would say, Jesus told me. And I'd look up at Jesus and be like, really, y'all? I thought we was dogs. I used to talk to Jesus like that. I really did. I'd be like, I thought we were cool. So moms really know things, don't they? They know what to say. They know what to do. They just have a way. Mama always knows what kind of bush root tea to boil for every ailment. They just know things. And it reminds me of my Father in heaven that knows things, doesn't he? He knows exactly where we are at any time. He knows what we need. He knows us better than we know ourselves, doesn't he? And I want you to know, I want to encourage you today that he has not forgotten about you. He knows things. And I believe that he deposits a little bit of that knowing in all of us mothers to empower us in motherhood because these kids are savages. And they are coming for our edges. And I'm sorry, I love my edges. You cannot have my edges. They will try to play us. These kids don't care. They don't love us. Miracle moms have faith. They know things. But miracle moms are also, they're in position. They're always in the right place at the right time. Doesn't it seem like moms are just always in the place of a miracle. I believe miracles follow moms. Or better yet, I believe that moms just know how to be aligned and they're always in the path of a miracle. You see, the Bible says that Elizabeth separates herself for 5 months. And I believe that she was getting in line. She was getting aligned with her Father in heaven and preparing herself for the son that was to come because he was a special child and he was a child that was going to affect so many people. So she had to get herself in an atmosphere of miracles. She had to get herself in the right place for the miracle that was to take place. And if you notice, Mary did the same thing. Mary separates herself by leaving her hometown and she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth because she was carrying a miracle and she had to be in the right atmosphere to be in that miracle and to carry that miracle. See, some of y'all haven't experienced a miracle because you haven't been in the right place. You need to move and get yourself in the right place, in the right path, aligned with God for you to experience a miracle. See, a miracle is not just for you. A miracle is for God's purposes. And so in order for you to be aligned and for you to experience that miracle, you have to be in the path and aligned with God. Amen? So miracle moms have faith. They know they're in position. But lastly, as the band comes up, miracle moms speak life. And I love this so much in verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the Lord should come to me?" And in verse 45, it says, "Blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Miracle moms speak life. You see, what I love so much about this story is that Mary was in this position where, you know, she gets this visitation and now she's pregnant, which the problem with that was that she wasn't married. She was engaged to be married. And so at that time, everybody was probably gossiping and talking behind her back and just running her name through filth like she was nothing. And so she had to get out of that bad and toxic atmosphere and get into an atmosphere where the miracle could thrive and could carry on. You see, what I love is that as she appears at Elizabeth's house, Elizabeth could have easily just scolded her and spoke down to her. "Why are you pregnant? You know you're not supposed to be having sex at this time. You're supposed to be, you know, just with your engagement. You're not supposed to be pregnant right now. You haven't yet been married." But she doesn't do that. Instead, she speaks life over her. She tells her, she speaks blessing over her. She tells her that she is blessed among women. And that's so beautiful because Elizabeth knows, and the Bible does say that the tongue has the power of life and death. And at that moment, she could have killed that dream. She could have killed that miracle, but she spoke life because she knew she was standing in an atmosphere of miracles. Amen. See, she affirms Mary, and together they praise the Lord for bestowing these miracles upon them. You see, what is it? How are people responding to you? Are you speaking life to people? Are people praising when they are in your presence because you've spoken life to them? See, some of us need to get in an atmosphere of miracles, an atmosphere where people speak life over us. And I'm not saying, I'm saying that we need to surround ourselves with people that speak life over us, but I'm not saying that we need to have a bunch of yes men around us. We need people that are going to speak life. And maybe you don't know what that looks like, you don't know what that sounds like, so maybe you haven't even experienced an atmosphere of miracles, but newsflash, I want you to know right now that you are sitting in an atmosphere of miracles right now. This is a place where people speak life and they are moved by the Holy Spirit. So right now, because I am one of the moms of this house, I want to speak life over all of you today because this is an atmosphere of miracles. You are purposed. I'm speaking to each one of you in here, the moms, the dads, the men, the women, the young people, the seasoned saints. I'm speaking to all of y'all. You have purpose. You are blessed. You are smart enough. You are good enough. You are equipped enough to do everything that God has called you to be, to do. You are protected in Jesus' name, and your family is protected in Jesus' name. You have provision. You do not have lack. You have everything. You have health. I want you to take your hand and I want you to touch your mind, your head. I pray excellent, everybody, I pray excellent mental health in Jesus' name to every single person in here. Your mind is calm. Your mind is clear in Jesus' name. God is in control. You have no lack, nothing missing, and nothing broken. If you believe it, say amen. God is not mad at you. I speak blessing over you. I speak love over you. I speak God's favor over your life. You will win. You are victorious. You have a purpose that you, oh God, you have such a huge purpose. You matter. God sees you. It's so funny. I wasn't even going to say this, but I have a dear friend of mine who's visiting from up north, Aurelia. And I saw her. I didn't know she was coming today. And the Holy Spirit just hit me so hard because Aurelia saw me at my worst. When I was lost, when I didn't know who I was, when I was acting out of character, she saw me at my worst. And yet she stands here on a day where I'm talking about miracles, because God wanted to remind me that I am a standing miracle. You are looking at a miracle in Jesus' name. This is an atmosphere of miracles, y'all. See, maybe this is the first time that you've been in church, or maybe you haven't been here in a long time and you're here. You brought mama, maybe. I want you to know that you are welcomed here. This is your home. This place is for you. You are in the right place. This space is primed for miracle. We've seen so many families restored here. We've seen relationships healed here, marriages healed here. We've seen them. That's a miracle. Husbands and wives recommitting themselves to each other after years and years of strain. We've seen it here. We've even seen one of our very own seasoned saints that fell. The doctor's report was not looking good. But God stepped in and healed her by the power of his grace. But you know what? For those of you that come here regularly, I want you to know that you witness a miracle each and every week. The greatest miracle of all, the miracle of salvation. And it's interesting because we celebrate that here. If you have been here, you know what I'm talking about. And Pastor Terrence often talks about how heaven is opened up. When one comes home, heaven opens up and you can see that there's a party in heaven. And we say we like to echo that sentiment and celebrate that here. But I thought about that and I said, wow, the Bible says that the heaven rejoices when one comes home. Can you imagine week after week, we witness multiple people coming home to Jesus? That is a miracle. And it's so funny because if it impresses them, here, we're talking about heaven here. Heaven. They are in the presence of the Most High God. The streets are paved in gold. There's amazing things all around them, but yet they are still impressed by salvation. Salvation is a miracle. It's the greatest miracle of all. Why don't you bow your heads?
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.